We want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with Pastor Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries. Right now, let's get to Pastor Terry's insightful message.
Quick poll, how many of you have ever been disappointed? Yeah. Matters great, matters small. We have all experienced a differential between expectation and experience. It is called disappointment. Years ago, on a trip home from a retreat that I attended in Oklahoma with some friends, we stopped at a diner and they had raisin pie on the menu. I love raisin pie, but it goes without saying because I like almost every kind of pie. But I like raisin pie. I like raisin pie in particular. And raisin pie kind of comes and goes. It'll be out there in the public sphere for a while and then it will disappear and be nowhere for a while. So when we stopped at this diner and I saw raisin pie on the menu, I thought, well, I know exactly what I'm having for dessert. I'm having raisin pie. And when they served it, what it was some kind of starchy cream filling, maybe vaguely vanilla. And if the piece that I had was any indication, then in the whole pie there may have been 24. What might have been World War I surplus K-ration raisins, or possibly pencil erasers. It was hard to distinguish. I was disappointed because my expectations had been so high and my experience fell so far short. Sometimes people will make a recommendation to you. You should see this movie. It is the greatest movie in the history of movies. And you go to see the movie and you're about 20 minutes in and you're thinking, I spent $11 on this. And it's a complete disappointment. Sometimes you may hear a friend bad-mouthing you to someone else. And among the many other things that you feel will be disappointment because your expectation on friendships were higher than your experience turned out to reinforce. Disappointment. The heart of what I want us to understand from this passage that I have read today is this. Hope does not disappoint. Now, as I start this, I want you to know that hope is one of the cardinal Christian virtues. There are three. They are faith, hope, and love. And very often when you read a passage about one of those things, you will find all three of them packed together. And that is the case in this passage. You don't have to read very many verses before faith, hope, and love have come into the act. Because they are our three cardinal virtues. They are the three greatest gifts of the Spirit. They are the three most profound fruits produced in our life by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it is almost true that you can't talk about faith without talking about hope. And you can't talk about hope without talking about love. And you can't talk about love without going back to faith and starting all over again. That is the case in this passage. And I'm going to give you the shortcut version here. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God is poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit-empowered love both sustains and substantiates hope. That's the shortcut. But it's something of a process, and we need to understand it because there are hopes that do disappoint. And we'll say more about those in a moment. But the hope that Paul means is part of this process. And he gives three steps to it if you read the larger passage. Step number one in the very first verse of Romans 5, it is justification by faith in Jesus Christ that gives us peace with God. Keep that in your mind. Justification by faith in Jesus Christ gives us peace in God. Step number two, it is the experience of grace, being introduced to grace, walking daily in grace, the experience of grace that causes us to exult. I'm going to pause here for just a moment. I went over this word with the kids, so we're all familiar with it by now. To exult means to feel and express triumphant, we won, jubilation. Have you ever seen what follows when somebody makes the Super Bowl winning touchdown? They may do a little dance in the end zone. They may spike the football. They will at least have a little fist pump exercise. Somebody may lift their hands to heaven and glorify God, but there is some emotional recognition of the fact that this is a triumphant moment of jubilation. Now, if I have a critique for ourselves, myself, this congregation, and maybe the independent Christian churches as a whole, if I have a critique, probably this would be number one on my list. We feel it better than we show it. Sometimes you look out over the faces of a Christian church congregation and the sense that you get is not, boy, here's an exultant crowd. Sometimes people look at us and maybe what we're advertising is, yeah, this Christianity stuff, it's okay. I mean, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye. It's all right. When we should be advertising, Jesus Christ saved me from my sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't do that very often. Maybe if we did it a little more, outsiders would be a little more eager to find out what we have that they lack. But back to my point, the experience of grace causes us to exult in hope. Since I took time out, the first thing was that faith, justification by faith in Jesus Christ, gives us peace with God. The second is that the experience of grace leads us to exult in hope. And the third thing in this process that Paul describes is that while we experience grace, we will also experience the world. And those two experiences will be very different. The experience of the world, and if you consider Paul's career, you will have no trouble understanding why he should frame it this way. The experience of the world he calls tribulation. No kidding. When you look at the way the world treated the Apostle Paul, but he says the experience of the world proves the character of these things I have been talking about and leaves me knowing this, hope does not disappoint. Now, having come thus far, it sounds to me too much like a theology lesson to leave it at that. So let me try to understand it from the experience of the man who wrote these words. Paul started his religious life as a Pharisee, called himself the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was all about earning salvation by works under the terms of the law. That was his system. Now, if you never got it before, I want you to get it today. Whatever that system brings, it is not peace with God. First, because none of us will ever be successful. There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us will ever be successful. But even to whatever extent we may succeed in such a system, earning salvation by works under the law, the whole premise is this: God has something, and I'm going to get it from Him. I'm going to prove something to Him, and when I have proved it, He's going to have to give me what I want. That is not peace. And the proof will come because my life will be good. And I understand that when the Pharisees thought this way, they were harking back to things that it actually said in the Old Testament about the fat of the olive and the richness of the earth and sitting in the shade of your own fig tree and earning the respect of your peers and how the righteous will never be found begging for bread. Those are all things that are said, but you've got to read the book of Job too. And you have to understand the treatment that was lavished on the prophet Jeremiah as well. And when you take a one-dimensional, shallow understanding of some things that are said, you come up with a shallow understanding. But here Paul was, striving to earn salvation by his excellent works and expecting that the reward for all that was going to be shown in good things happening to him here and now. When the Lord confronted Paul on the road to Damascus, among other things, he said to him, "You have been kicking against the goads." And I'm going to tell you, I believe that this is not just Paul. I believe that phrase would apply to all of the Pharisees. God had been trying to lead them in a particular direction through the centuries with prophets and teachers and miracles. And they would not go in the direction that God was pushing them. They were all kicking against the goads. And when Jesus came, because they were already at odds with the purposes of God, that is, not at peace with Him, at odds with His purposes, they totally could not get behind Jesus Christ when He came explaining about grace as opposed to earning salvation through works of the law. Their whole lifelong practice forbade them from getting behind what Jesus was saying. Because they were not at peace with the purposes of God, they missed their entire chance when those purposes were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. When Paul came to faith in Christ on the road to Damascus, when he accepted justification from Christ under the terms of grace rather than his previous insistence that he must earn what he could get under the terms of the law, when he accepted this, Paul found peace with God, and he wept ever after for the bulk of his brothers who could not or would not enter into such peace. But for himself and for all others who accepted God's glorious purposes in Jesus Christ, Paul exulted in hope in the glory of the purposes of God. But you need to understand the difference between the glory of God and the glory of the world, because now Paul begins to experience the unmitigated hostility, the relentless antagonism of the world. Jail. Beatings, privations, exclusions. But it leads him to discover that because his true hope is now in the purposes of God, the world cannot take it away or crush it. And thus, hope does not disappoint. Many of these things seem to come as a huge surprise to the Apostle Paul as he made his journey in the kingdom. It is amazing the turnaround from his previous system and understanding to this moment where justification comes by faith in Jesus Christ and the love of God is poured out by the Spirit in his heart and he clings to a hope that does not disappoint. But it requires letting go of that other system. The Pharisees had struggled for long years because despite the hopes that they had of worldly progress, their people were trampled upon by Rome and held in subjection. If only we all just obey enough, if only we all just keep the law enough, it's going to work out. You'll see the tide will turn. Well, I got to tell you, it never did. Right up to the destruction of the temple in that final battle in AD 70. But by this time, Paul had traded off those former worldly hopes, which are so often disappointed, for something better, which never disappoints. So what about us? Where is our hope? What is its basis? And how is it standing up? Who here would like to raise their hand to say that 2021 was their favoritest year in life so far? That's what I thought. There was a lot of stinking, reeking tragedy and hardship in 2021. And it crushed a lot of people's hopes. But I'm here to testify today it did not crush mine. It has been a long time since I expected anything resembling paradise to materialize here in the fallen, lost, sinful world. Because I have actually read the Bible, and I know what it says about that prospect. My peace was not given to me by the world, and it cannot be taken from me by the world. My peace does not reside, my hope rather, does not reside in what the world has to offer. And so it cannot be disappointed by the world, because exactly what I expect of the world fulfills, because it is fallen, lost, cursed. My hope is in the glorious purposes of God in Jesus Christ. And these will not be disappointed. Can 2022 do what 2021 failed? It cannot. All the same things are true. The world is neither the source nor the goal of my hopes, and thus cannot take it away from me. For what it's worth, I mean, I'm like the rest of you. I have some worldly hopes. I hope 2022 is a better year for all of us than 2021 was. I hope so. But even if it's a much worse year, my true hopes remain in Jesus Christ. Nothing can change that. The love of God poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Nothing can change that. Peace that comes by justification from faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing can change that. Everything is assured because at exactly the right time, read verse 6, while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. That's you. And herein is a hope that the world cannot quench. Hope does not disappoint. If you don't have that hope, I will only say to you that you can.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.